Famous for their iconic Humboldt fog, inspired by the misty Humboldt County coastline, Cypress Grove has been a cornerstone of American cheese for over 40 years. Their range of fresh, soft-ripened, and aged goat cheeses promises an unforgettable experience. Proudly crafted in Arcata, California, where the redwoods meet the Pacific Ocean, Cypress Grove cheeses are available nationwide at specialty retailers. Discover their cheeses, serving tips, and even order online at cypressgrovecheese.com. Perfect for any occasion or as a gift. There's nothing like that Humboldt fog feeling.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
We're going to talk, though, about sports facilities in a few moments' time, but more success this time in the form of an Olympic gold medal for Team Ireland and Daniel Whiffen at the Paris Olympics just yesterday. And the Swim Ireland Performance Director and Team Leader John Rudd is with us on the line. You must be absolutely over the moon, John.
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, that's an understatement for sure. This is a really authentic phone call, by the way. I'm actually on the bus driving back from the pool to the Olympic Village.
Oh, so brilliant.
Forgive any sounds going on around me.
No, we want to embrace the atmosphere that's there.
We're simply thrilled, of course, and more to come over the next few days.
Did you have a gold medal in your sights? I know you're involved with Daniel and Daniel's coaching, but was that something, you know, obviously it laid bare as a reality last night, but was that something that was very much to the fore of your mind heading into the Paris Olympics?
Well, it's certainly something that was bubbling under and we were hopeful of. You know, Daniel was world champion in February of this year, a double world champion in both the 8 and the 1500. So carrying those performances through to the summer, you knew that he was always a chance for at least a medal here. And, you know, golds are tough to come by. And this was the whole world turned up this time. There's nobody missing. And yes, it was always a strong chance. But, you know, delivering in the moment is a different story.
He got it right yesterday. Everything seemed to go in his favour.
He certainly did. He paced it supremely well. He didn't let other people with different race plans phase him. There's always those that go out a little bit faster. There are those that hang back and like to finish really, really strong. And Daniel just stuck to his own guns and did the race his way. And when he knew the fast finishers were coming on that last length, he was ready and he's prepared for that too. So, yeah, it was a supremely well-executed race. Calmness under pressure personified.
Yeah. I mean, between Daniel yesterday and Mona McSharry the previous day, we were only talking to Mona's coach, Grace, here in the programme as well, yesterday afternoon. We're really getting it right in the pool, John.
We seem to be, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the depth to this team as well. The danger, of course, is when you've got a couple of medalists, that some of the other great performances that you see in the team, you're going to get lost or get skirted past. So we're extremely pleased with these first 4 days. Like I say, it's a 9-day competition. So we're barely halfway this morning and the team's buzzing and, you know, the swimming team performances do so much for the rest of Team Ireland with us being in the same accommodation as the other 12 sports. You know, everybody's high-fiving and clapping each other on the back when we get in the lifts to go up and down to rooms and so on. So it's a tremendous buzz.
Yeah, like I was thinking about that and I know Mona McSharry's back in action today. I know that the heat this morning and semi-final and that later. But the fact that there's already a bronze and a gold medal in the bag for Team Ireland overall, it must add huge pressure though, does it, John, to other athletes competing?
I would hope not. I don't know that it would bring pressure. I just think it, you know, can amplify belief. And if a regular guy from Ireland can do this, then why can't everybody else that's on this team? So there's, I don't know that it brings pressure. I just think that it brings joy and elation and you know, that knowledge that we're as good as anybody else, because
yeah,
we absolutely are.
It's the inspiration and you know, the enthusiasm, and as Mona McSharry described herself 2 days ago as the little girl from Sligo, it just shows you what the Irish athletes are capable of on the Olympic world stage. Tell me a little bit about Swim Ireland and what it is that we're getting right, John, in the training stages that we're able to produce these Olympic athletes.
Well, you know, we could spend all day talking about that. It's an aggregation of so many factors that you can't sort of put your finger on one thing and say, look, that's the reason that this is going well. But we've got athletes in great coaching environments, whether that be here in Ireland, in one of our national centres, whether that be in a UK university or whether that be in a US university, and helping them make good decisions that suit their individual needs, and help them with their life generally, you know, because for most of these guys, you know, they're dual career athletes, where it's swimming and education. You know, they're doing a degree, a first or a second one. So it's really important that they get that balance right. And we've worked with this crop of athletes now for a number of years, first of all at junior level and then brought them through to senior level. And give or take one or two people each year, this is a core group that have now been together at competition for year upon year. So their experience and their resilience and their understanding has grown with each and every season. And now we're here where we are in Paris, you know, delivering in the right moment. Yeah. So it's terrific when all those pieces of the jigsaw just start to come together.
Well, to break it back, and that's what we're doing on the show today. We're talking about the sports facilities that we have across the country in all different codes and disciplines, whether they're good enough, whether we need more, even for people to just encourage them into sports if they're not necessarily thinking about, you know, running an Olympic or a world competitive campaign. Do we have good enough facilities, John, in Ireland?
Well, I can only really comment on aquatics. I don't know a great deal about the other sports. Mm. But certainly in swimming, you know, the top of the tree, the National Aquatic Centre in Dublin is excellent. University of Limerick has a great pool. And in Northern Ireland, we have a great pool in Bangor Aurora. And then we have a big gap. And what we also have a gap in is for the more rural areas or the smaller conurbations in Ireland, it's a long way for those young people to maybe get access to a swimming pool. So where we're missing is not necessarily the quality of the pools. We could always deal with two or three more high quality pools, but we're missing a quantity. And for every per capita head of person in Ireland, you know, you'd hope that there's a local community pool where children can learn to swim and then take up competitive swimming if they wish.
Yeah.
For me, that's actually less important than this essential life skill of being able to swim and parents feeling safe and secure that their son or their daughter can be at the beach or walking along the riverside, and if something untoward were to happen, they know how to look after themselves. And that's where swimming is different to another sport. It's an essential life skill. So, yeah, more pools don't need to be 50 meter pools. Don't need to be all singing, all dancing, whistle and bells pools, but just good, safe, clean, warm environments for people to learn to swim. And a frequency of those across the island.
Something we're going to talk about here on the programme, John, with some of our listeners who've got in touch about that, the quality of the sports facilities that we have. But just on a final point before I let you go today, because I know you're on your way to the Olympic Village. Have you been talking to Daniel this morning, and how is he?
No, I've not spoken to Daniel this morning because he's in bed.
Yeah, a well-deserved lie-in.
Yeah, I mean, by the time he swims his race, does doping tests, does a press conference, does a cool down in the pool, gets a sports massage, and then gets back into the village and eat. You know, he's getting into bed at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's good that he's not racing today. He gets a lie in. He may have a little paddle this afternoon just to make sure that he's not aching and a bit stiff from competing yesterday, and then he'd be ready to go to the 1500 later in the week. But not a chance to speak to him yet, and I'm certainly not disturbing him until he's ready.
No, well, absolutely not. And John, continued success. I've no doubt we'll talk to you throughout the next number of days here in News Talk. And best wishes to all with Swim Ireland. That's team leader and Swim Ireland performance director, John Rudd. Just unbelievable. I mean, to watch the swim and Daniel Whiffen last night, Mona McSharry the previous evening. She's back in the pool again today as well, but we'll have more on that here in the station a little bit later. Hilary is with me on the line in Cork. Hilary, you were listening to John talking about the sports facilities, what we have. You've struggled to get access to a pool with your own children.
That's right. I was on your show about a year and a half ago, just highlighting I suppose, the issues that we're having in rural towns, and just listening to John discussing it there with you, it's kind of, you know, it's again highlighting the lack of, as he said, the quantity of, you know, we're not looking for Olympic pools, we're looking for a small pool that we can teach our children how to have this essential life skill. And, you know, what John said there about, you know, if you leaving your children go to the beach, like we live 15 minutes from the beach, you know, if you have that confidence that they would be able to get out of the water if they were in a bit of trouble. But, you know, it's just, there's a big gap. So they have these big, fabulous facilities like the National Aquatic Centre up at the top of the tree, as John said. And then there's a gap, and we're falling into that gap where I live in Bandon. Yeah.
Remind listeners, Hilary, of your story and your struggle to even try and get access to swimming lessons.
So I would live in a town that by 2025, according to the County Cork Development Plan, there's going to be 10,000 people living in Bandon. We would be about 25 minutes from Cork City, 20 minutes from Clonakilty, 25 minutes from Dunmanway, which has a public pool. So we were looking to try and get Swim Ireland to bring this pop-up pool into Bandon to set it up for a period of time, and that would give the children in the town the opportunity to have a big bank of swimming lessons and to catch up, because all of the children are still catching up from COVID, which is kind of hard to believe, but it has had a huge knock-on effect. So waiting lists, trying to get into a swimming pool. And, you know, there's a big difference as well between the private and the public. And, you know, you can join and become a member in a swimming pool and then pay for private classes. But that's not attainable or achievable for a lot of families if you have three or four kids. It's a life skill that, being in such a small island nation, it's a life skill that we all should be entitled to have access to. And I think, you know, I just think that it's a thing that's like, whenever we do surveys in our town, you know, with the public, it's always number one on the wish list, that we wish Bandon had a pool. And I know I come from a business background, so I know it's not a money-making business for anybody to kind of open up a swimming pool. It's a very hard thing to operate. But you still have to go back to the fact that there's a desperate need to give children this life skill, and it's essential. And when you look at Daniel Whiffen, and when you look at Mona McSharry, and like, there could be little girls and boys like that dotted around little towns all over Ireland that will never have the opportunity to get where they are today. And, you know, imagine if they were able to get lessons and they were able to proceed and win a gold for Ireland. It's incredible. Like, the whole country is buzzing today over it.
Absolutely. You know? It's not just in swimming, though, I suppose, that we're talking about the sports facilities and how good are they. Do we have enough of them? Are they up to standard across the country? Liam is on the line as well, Hilary. Liam is in Offaly. Of course, you're a boxing coach, Liam. Do you think our sports facilities are up to scratch? Have I got Liam? No, we'll try and get Liam back maybe in a moment. Ronnie is on the line. Ronnie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Andy?
Not bad. You've been campaigning for better sports facilities, Ronnie, for a number of years.
Yeah, for 12 years now, we've been trying to get a football pitch at the back of a community centre that we campaigned to build 20-odd years ago.
And no progress, I take it?
No, it's just been held up by the suits. All the political parties say they're on board. They've put it in their manifestos. They believe that it's a worthy thing to have there. But you just seem to be banging your head against a brick wall when you come up against some of the civil servants, if you like.
So what's going to happen? It just won't progress?
Well, it's just through pressure like this and talking on radio shows and keep on our politicians and all that. The thing lies with Dublin City Council. They own the land. There's no other green space in the area. You know, we done an analogy there with a presentation in the Dáil a while back. And we have 55,000 people in this area. But three counties in Ireland, between them, between 47,000 to 50,000 people, have 22 pitches between them. We haven't got one, you know, which is ridiculous.
And yet people would think across Dublin that there's, you know, and the surrounding areas, that there's huge levels of facilities. I know there are in parts, but...
Yeah, but absolutely. Look, the bottom line is we're trying to keep kids out of trouble, keep them in disciplines. There's all a big hype on when there's drug wars going on and people getting shot and everything else, and it goes on throughout the city. But we're firefighting, trying to get Dublin City Council, and to be honest, it's supposed to be their job, but we're firefighting, trying to ask them to actually come and border us, you know, and that's ridiculous. It really is horrible. It takes up so much energy of people. Like, it's hard enough, you know, trying to attract coaches into a sport and trying to bring the kids on. I mean, that's a struggle in a day-to-day thing. But then when you have to get on board of start trying to organise finance and they have to try and organise a local council to actually do the job, and I believe that that is their job. But why we do have to argue with them and constantly barrage and spend 10 years trying to get them to do something. And I know they can't just give a pitch out to everybody. But we've certainly made a case that, as I said, there's 55,000 people in the area. Okay. You know, there's no point in complaining about the crime levels if you're not going to be proactive beforehand, you know.
Listener says €72 for two kids and two adults to access the Aqua Zone in the National Aquatic Centre. We paid roughly €8 for the same experience in Bilby recently. Leah is with us on the line today. Leah O'Brien is the co-owner of the Breffni Gymnastics Club in Cavan. How are our gymnastics facilities, Leah?
How you doing?
How are you?
Gymnastics facilities, yeah, they're sparse. They're very spread out. There's a couple of main ones who are, you know, the big fish, and they obviously do really, really well. But in terms of like recreational community clubs, they're few and far between.
Because that's the difference. Like, there's two different standards. And I know John Rudd from Swim Ireland, who was with us a few moments ago, talked about, you know, at a swimming level, we have incredible, we've excellent, we've world-class facilities, we've three of them at the top level. But we're missing that gap, that we're missing the sort of the middle section, the people who maybe just want to take up a sport, learn a sport, maybe they become good at it, they've an interest, they get to progress on to a competitive level. And that's what we're missing in many rural areas. So is that the same for gymnastics?
100%. Like, we have, we're so busy, like, we're blessed as in the amount of people who come to us, and we physically can't take on any more kids. We can only do so much, and like that, our nearest club to us could be an hour's drive, and for a lot of parents, that's not something they can do, you know. So we do our best to take as many in as we can, and of course we get the little mini Simone Biles coming in and we think, God, what a future they could have. But like that, we're a small club. Our equipment is as good as what we can afford. And, you know, we'd love to be able to offer, you know, a higher standard, but like that, we're self-funded. We can only do
so much, but we're
paddling against the current sometimes, I think.
Do you see this now over the next couple of weeks between, and particularly, I suppose, with the Olympic gymnastics, swimming, athletics, will you see the numbers now increase at the doors?
Of course, yeah. Myself and another girl, we own the club together, and of course even there, we finished up last week for our summer holidays, and there was so much like buzz and the chat amongst the kids and the Simone Bileses, and of course we've got Reese now for Ireland competing, and you know, we never really hear of this talk, you know, outside of this big build up, and now the kids are buzzing, and of course we'll have lots of kids, I'm sure, newbies that'll be sitting watching going, God, mommy, I'd love to do that, and we will have new interest coming in just with the hype of the Olympics. And of course, like that, if we get some Irish gymnasts coming up who are making the podiums, then, you know, that'll blow up the sport even more, which is fantastic. But there's definitely, I think, funding and just there's not enough of it. And also, do you know what? It's such a niche sport for coaches. They're few and far between. You can't just go out to the gymnastics coach tree and pick one off. You know, they're just not about either, because you got to know what you're doing. You know, this sport is so niche, you know what I mean, and technical, and you know, both myself and my partner Gillian, who when we opened, we're both ex-gymnasts, both national level gymnasts competing for Ireland. Now I'm talking, this was a long time ago for me, not so long ago for Gillian, but so we knew what we were doing, and we got our heads together. We were working for another club, and we were working there, and we kind of thought, you know what, could we give this a go, could we do this as a, you know, open up. And we went down the funding avenues, and we tried to get some help from our local council, and we met walls upon walls. We never really got anywhere that way. So we kind of self-funded as much as we could. We got some money off family members who were brilliant to help us
And that's the whole part of it, isn't it? It's so difficult to even open and set up these facilities, and obviously why people are looking for them at a public level. Have I got Robert Fagan on the line? Robert's the director of Mullingar Equestrian. Robert, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea. How are you keeping?
Good. How are facilities, equestrian facilities? Are they good enough in Ireland?
Look, I suppose we're very fortunate. The equestrianism is in the Irish DNA there, so we punch way above our weight there. You know, they're just back from a recent gold medal in the ponies there, Europeans last weekend, did a silver individual, Francis Irwin, the week before, and the team gold young riders. So we punch really above our weight. We have fantastic facilities right throughout Ireland. I suppose our challenge is that, you know, when these young boys and girls there have the dream in the classroom of wanting to aspire to be an Olympic rider, the riding schools are diminishing, and the big issue there is insurance. So, you know, every village in Ireland kind of had access to riding schools, and they're just getting less and less. And that's one of the challenges. The other challenge is with fantastic facilities, but they're all family driven because they're 24/7, 7 days a week. When you're working with animals, it takes an awful lot of effort and work. So they don't work kind of 9 to 5 and kind of sort of individually driven. You know, it takes a team. And we're not able to access Sport Ireland funding because we're seen as being
private enterprise. Yeah,
so, private enterprise. And they're basically the challenges. Our sport is very healthy and there's fantastic individuals. And you know, what's unique about, there's two athletes involved. You have the horse and the rider. Mm. And especially looking at the Olympics tomorrow, the event was last weekend, and you know, we'd have a lot of hope for our four riders: Keane O'Connor, Shane Sweetman, Jordan Coyle, or Daniel Coyle, and Dara Kenny. You know, all those riders grew up in villages around Ireland. They had access there to ponies, and they followed their dream. And a lot of them had to travel abroad then to progress their careers. But they don't forget us at home. They keep coming back and they keep supporting us. But I suppose we're fortunate there that our sport is healthy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And as you say, like, Robert, a lot of these people started out in their local communities and would never be at this Olympic world stage today and over the next coming days had they not have had that opportunity to do so. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. I want to hear about the sports facilities in your local area and how good or not are they? 087 1400 106, that is the number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.